If you need news, and we'll assume you do, there's no shortage of places to get it in the world today. You can fill your eyes, ears, and brain in no time at all, given all the offerings in traditional media, plus all the stuff online. It's like trying to take sips from a fire hose. But our next guest takes the view that we have some control over the fire hose, at least on our end of it. Longtime journalist Peter Lawfer has been writing and talking for several years now about slow news, taking the time to ingest what the world has to offer at a pace you can stand so you can understand what's going on. Peter Lawfer is a veteran of NBC News, CBS News, and teaches journalism now at the University of Oregon. He's a frequent guest of the Jefferson Exchange because he keeps writing books on interesting subjects. Hi, Peter. Good to have you back on the Exchange.
Oh, it's great to talk with you, Jeffrey, and I just need to update your weather forecast because I'm looking out the window here at my office at the university, and the sky is nothing but deep blue and gorgeous.
Isn't that wonderful? A couple days of this, it looks like. So let's talk about your own consumption, because it seems like you're as prolific a producer of material as you are, probably spend a lot of time taking stuff in as well. Did you get to a point, though, where you had to more or less push away from the buffet?
Well, it's not pushing away from the buffet, Jeffrey, as much as being selective, and also what I try so hard to do, and it's so hard because there is so much coming at us, is to define times in the day when I will make use of specific stuff. So an example, I got up this morning at about 6:30, it's some oatmeal and coffee, and the New York Times is on the kitchen counter along with the register guard, which, as you probably know, just last week was bought by a huge chain from the local family. So I'm watching carefully to see how that newspaper might change.
Gatehouse Media, yeah, I know there have been some layoffs already, too.
It's quite radical because the Baker family has been so involved in the community, and for that change to involve the newspaper, everybody is watching that, I think, in town closely. But I'll look at the Times, read the editorial page, go through the first section, maybe glance at some of the other sections, check out the editorial page of the Register Guard, look at the front page of the local section, and hold on to your desk there for a minute, but I'll open up Fox News because I think it's so important to look at that which I do not necessarily agree with. I'll look at the front page, this is online now, of the Wall Street Journal. I'll punch up The Guardian because they often have stuff that the New York Times doesn't have, even though the politics are similar. And that's about an hour. And then I'll take a breather, I hope, and look out at a beautiful day like today, or curse the rain if it's a cold, freezing rain. And now, hold on to that desk again, I'll drive down to the university and often turn Rush Limbaugh on. I only have a 5-minute drive, which is about as much as anybody ought to tolerate, but I think it's important to keep track of it. And then I will try to walk from my car to my office and enjoy the gorgeous campus and breathe our fresh Oregon air and try to slow down.
So you really do take in a lot of different media, and as you point out, from a couple of different perspectives, too, particularly the Fox News and Rush Limbaugh samples. But you confine those to certain hours of the day?
I try to. I really try to. But it is always a battle, especially if my computer is open on the desk here at my office, and it's so easy to look at these so-called alerts. But what happens is, I am convinced, and that's what I wrote about in the book you referred to, Slow News, is that, and most of us, I think, at this point understand it, that it becomes habitual in a negative way. We simply do not need to know moment by moment what a friend of mine in our radio business calls the dismal details of the Daily Downer. We need to take a break from that because there's so much good stuff going on, and we need to decide what it is that we're going to pay attention to. If there's a tragedy in Florida, we need to know that it's going on, but we don't need to know moment-by-moment details, especially since early details that are broadcast or are online are often wrong. it's a different kind of a consumption than if we were faced with a tragedy for you in Ashland or for me in Eugene. And even if something awful happens that's breaking news in Ashland, I don't need to know about it in the same way you need to know about it. But we are faced with everything almost being local in the current environment, and it's our job, the onus is on us, the news consumers, to say, wait a minute, I don't need that. I can wait until tomorrow, read a couple of paragraphs about it, and that's enough.
Peter Lawfer is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a longtime journalist himself, now training journalist at the school at the University of Oregon. You can join the conversation on the Exchange as we talk about slow news, and maybe you have some tips for ways in which you regulate your own news inflow that makes it a little more sanity-producing for you. We'd like to hear from you at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I want to come back to a point you made, though, Peter, about not looking at the alerts. So I was going to ask if a guy like you actually signs up for those alerts, or if you just take things when you're ready to get them.
I absolutely don't sign up for them, and when they push at me without my request, I push back and get rid of them. I think I have a great example. For a while, my wife was getting the alerts from the New York Times, and one came in, and I don't remember what it interrupted, some dinner we were having or some friends were over, and the alert comes in, and it was that the National Hockey League had negotiated a temporary settlement to a labor dispute with players. We didn't need to know that. It didn't need to make the phone beep. It didn't need to interrupt us. And we are so ready to be interrupted. And it goes past the news, Jeffrey, where we're allowing the communication tools to interrupt us. Often my phone will ring, as most people's will, while I'm talking to somebody, and I'll reach into my pocket and just shut off the ringer. And inevitably, the person I'm talking to says, "Don't you need to get that?" And I pretty much condition myself to not get it and say, "No, you're here in front of me. You're a live person, and I can deal with that later." A generation ago, we never would be interrupting conversations with people because the phone rings.
Well, part of the being connected to the world thing, though, is also the being connected to each other thing, and they've sort of merged. I mean, when we talked to you, I was looking down, it was July of 2013 was the last time we talked about slow news with you. A bit has changed in the world since that time, and people getting their news almost exclusively, some of them anyway, through social media has become a much bigger factor in the world today.
And that's such a problem, Jeffrey, because it's self-selected, and we are asking these news providers to give us that which we think we want to and think we need to know, rather than having Walter Cronkite or somebody else curate it for us so that maybe we would learn about something we didn't know about or already didn't have an opinion about from somebody whose opinion differed from ours. And to have this stuff coming at us also makes us susceptible to manipulation, whether it's so-called fake news, which is a ghastly term that's become so much part of our parlance that you and I are saying it, or if it is the overt manipulation that we see from the Trump administration, where there is a new crisis every day, and I'm convinced that's strategic, so we forget about the last one, and we don't know what's going on right under the veneer. For example, right in your backyard with the Siskiyou Cascade
Cascade Siskiyou National Monument.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so how many people even up here, 3 hours up the road, know how devastating that is, and what the Interior Secretary, who's an alum of this very university, is doing to that monument and what it means long term? So much is going on so fast that we can't allow ourselves to rely on social media to tell us what we want to know.
I have to ask about this one because it is a perplexing trend to me every time I see it, that people respond emotionally before they go look for the facts, and yet they are responding emotionally on the very device that can give them the facts. In other words, rather than check out somebody's story, they'll go ahead and retweet or share something on Facebook and say, can you believe this? I can't believe these guys. And then if you just look at the stuff that they're responding to, it turns out to be based on nothing.
Basically, what you just said means that we've all become Rush Limbaugh. And that's a terrifying reality. You know, we really have. We are becoming mouthpieces for the propagandists who are manipulating us. And that's another reason why we have to step back. We don't need to know all this stuff moment by moment. And as you say, we certainly don't need, before we've even begun to digest it, let alone analyze it, tell it to somebody else and spread what often is misinformation, if not disinformation.
Peter Loffer is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a longtime journalist with many years of experience at NBC News and CBS News, among others, documentarian, radio journalist, book writer. He's written a book about slow news and is joining us to talk about that very subject once again today. And you can join us. Your thoughts on news. Do you take it slow? Do you take it fast? Do you take as much as you can possibly get? Do you drive yourself insane? Do you have a way to get an island of sanity? Talk about your practices with us here at 800-838-3760 over the phone, or send an email, really slow news, to jx@jeffnet.org. Let's take a call from Carter in Wolf Creek. Welcome to the Exchange with Peter Loffer.
Yes, good morning. One of the writings that's very, very important to me in slowing down was written during and perhaps even before World War II started by Aldous Huxley in the form of the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita translation that Christopher Isherwood did. And it's 12 pages of incisive reading by a brilliant writer, and it is basically about what it is for a human being to be and behave living on a small planet like this. So I commend that to all the listeners and to your guest as something to go back to and read and reread, the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. And I'm not commending the Bhagavad Gita itself. I'm commending Aldous Huxley's introduction. Thank you for listening.
All right. Thanks for that, Carter. Appreciate that. So Aldous Huxley's introduction to the Christopher Isherwood edition of the Bhagavad Gita. Thoughts on that, Peter?
Well, I just keep thinking about Wolf Creek, where my wife used to live, and the Wolf Creek Inn, and so I'll have to take a look at that, and I appreciate that from the caller, but that just slowed me down quite a bit to think about lazy Wolf Creek.
Do you have, well, obviously you've taken advantage of hearing from Carter and Wolf Creek to get to that moment. Do you have some practices that you have to engage in from time to time to put yourself back in a slow news zone?
Yeah, bicycle works pretty well. Just we are, as you are down there, we're blessed with bike paths along the Willamette up here, and just looking for ways to get removed and not have earbuds in listening to something else on that bike ride, but trying to tune into what's actually going on. I have exercises for students where they are demanded to go out with no so-called device, and they spend a certain amount of time just looking and chronicling what they're seeing, just smelling and chronicling the smells, and then just listening and chronicling the sounds that they hear. We're losing track of that in part because we bombard ourselves perpetually with whatever's coming in, news or other types of entertainment, and news really has become so much entertainment at this point. I also am not allowing students any longer to email me unless it's an emergency, and they're required to put a note in an envelope, buy a stamp, put the stamp on the envelope along with my address, and drop it in a post box if they can find one.
Wow. Just to make sure that they get things to you in more time?
Just so that they can think about slowing down a little bit and that we don't all have to be rush, and so that they can have the experience of sticking a stamp on an envelope. You'd be amazed at how many students don't have that experience.
And they put the stamp in the wrong place and things like that?
Yeah.
Let's take another call. Here's Gail in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking slow news with Peter Loffer at the University of Oregon.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. You know, there's so much natural beauty in this location. The daffodils are out, the pink and white blooms on the trees are starting, The geese are overhead moving around in the county to find their various spots for grass and water. The natural beauty in this area is just spectacular, and it's so pleasant to go out and just be doing your business easily with a smile on your face, and other people are smiling back. There's the Jordan Schnitzer Museum with the fabulous bronzes by Ai Weiwei. There's so much to enjoy that I find that it really helps ward off the negative propagandists hollering for my attention that I really don't want to give. So I really laud the gorgeousness of where we live as a remedy for the negativity in the news cycles that we are bombarded with.
All right. Thanks for sharing that, Gail. Appreciate that. Which sounds similar to what you're talking about, Peter. Appreciate the stuff around you. And I noticed that if you go for a walk without the earbuds and you notice when the birds are singing and then you notice when they don't.
Yes, then you notice when they don't. But I do want to emphasize, and I know you know this, Jeffrey, because we know each other somewhat over the years, that I'm not suggesting we tune out.
No.
That I'm not suggesting we don't pay attention to what's going on. It's critically important, especially at a time like this, that we are all engaged and productive regarding what's happening around us, and we don't let things happen under the veneer because we're so busy ignoring that which is depressing us. We have to be involved. We just don't have to be involved 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Peter Lawfer, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about slow news. Let's take your perspective. You got something to share with us about how you regulate your own news diet to keep yourself sane? 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You know, I wonder, though, I was sitting here thinking about, we didn't really talk so much about cable news just yet. And in a sense, when you have an interview with a couple of different people, a debate format, I mean, at least that is somewhat slower. But how do you find that to be helpful or not in your own consumption of news?
Well, so often it's a bunch of yelling, and that can be entertaining for a few minutes. I decided that at least one form, one medium needs to be yanked out of the house so that we can begin to control our lives and not be bombarded perpetually. So for years, we have not had television in the house. The result is that when I go out of town and I'm in a hotel, I find myself glued to both Fox and CNN back and forth watching this stuff. But it is, to continue with the slow food metaphor, it is such empty calories, and I don't think that we should think about that usually as anything other than entertainment.
You mentioned some of the things you do with your students at the University of Oregon, including getting them to send you notes in envelopes and actually through the mail, which I'm sure the Postal Service appreciates up to some point. But I was going to ask you about other things with the students, because they live in a world where you're on one level urging them to slow down, but on the other level you're training them for a business that has speeded up its demands over the years. I mean, anybody who's learning to be a reporter, particularly pretty much in any media today, has to know how to deliver information across a whole bunch of media. Therefore, they need to take in information faster, perhaps, than you and I did.
They have to take in information fast. They have to be able to turn it around, as you say, on all these so-called platforms. But they need to know what's going on also. And if it's all moving so fast that they don't have time to read thoroughly or listen or watch thoroughly, then they are going to be victims of superficiality. And we see that with incoming freshmen all the time, where I'll talk to a first-level journalism class in a huge lecture hall of some 300 students and ask simple questions like, what are a few items on the front page of the New York Times today? What's an important national story? What's an important international story? And there will be few, if any, hands raised. And Jeffrey, what's sobering is to then ask, who read the newspaper this morning? Now, you might think it's okay that nobody raises their hand because that's yesterday's medium. But I'll go through the whole litany. Who's got some news from NPR or another radio source this morning? And on television, who has received news of consequence from around the world via anything? And it's just not there. I looked at some pictures of cats on my Instagram. So we have to be training people almost from zero in terms of news literacy. And that's sobering.
Sobering, and it's a challenge to democracy itself, I would think, if we can't at all at least agree on what some of the main stories are of the day. And honestly, some of the news sites don't help. I mean, every morning I look at either Boston.com or SFGate or one of those, and even though they have the backing of solid journalistic organizations, the Boston Globe in one case and the San Francisco Chronicle in the other, they tend to lead with things like, you know, here's what Tom Brady's doing, or here's what the Patriots need this year, or here's what's going on with real estate prices in the Bay Area today.
Yeah, absolutely. The Oregonian is one of the worst at that, which is stereotypical clickbait. And to think about what an important regional news source it used to be. We have a lot of work to do, and we have to know what's going on for the survival and the thriving of our democracy, as you point out. And we can perhaps see the result of not paying attention by what we have in the White House now.
So, Peter, before we go, I have to ask again about the instructing your students to deliver you messages through the U.S. mail. Did that produce a real eye roll among the classmates?
It was more kind of a jaw-dropping, what's this all about, and let's try this. And there seems to be some enjoyment, and I've gotten some entertaining letters, and as you say, we can help support the Postal Service so it doesn't go out of business too fast. And before we say goodbye, I have to say, slow news and fast cars, you said for this hour, Jeffrey, and please tell your next guest that I practice slow cars. I have a 1974 London Black Cab in the garage that can barely do 50.
Oh, that sounds great. Peter Lawfer, always a pleasure.